Welcome to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program with your host, Tony Peters. I hope you'll enjoy today's segment.
And so I think that we just need to have a loving attitude anytime that we are pouring into someone, anytime that we're teaching them, and anytime that we're discipling them. Not meaning that we are a pushover and don't expect obedience, don't expect other things, but everything needs to be done in love like God did. I mean, God loved us so much. And we need to have that same example for others.
Did your kids go through the baby shark phase?
They did go through the baby shark phase.
That song got banned in our house. I that song, even to this day, grates my nerves. So the other day, my son was listening to his Alexa, and just to play a prank on him, I'm like, Alexa, play music from Frozen. Because he can't stand Frozen. My daughter loves it. He hates it. So it started singing songs from Frozen. So to get me back, he's like, Alexa, play Baby Shark on repeat. Yeah, he definitely won that one. But that was my irritability thing, was Baby Shark when that really was coming through. You also mentioned legalism, and that's something that so many religions fall into the trap of. And you even look at like Mormonism, Judaism, Catholicism, and Jehovah's Witness, like where these things become just, they're doing it for the sake of doing it.
Yes.
It's, you're going through the motions of your faith, and you don't understand what these traditions are, why you're doing them. And especially with like Catholicism and Judaism, like you really see these things where people are like going through them. We watched a Catholic wedding on this one show too, and I'm like, they're long. People don't understand what's being said. So why are you doing it? Do you really understand why? If you don't know what he's saying, what's the point? Same with in medieval times, they used to preach only in Latin. And it's like, well, there was no point because the people didn't actually understand it, because only the upper crust understood Latin. So that's the trap that religions fall into. And with Judaism, Christ called it out with the leaders. He was so good at calling them out for it, being like, okay, so you're not supposed to work on Sunday. That was a rule that, yes, God, my Father, put in place. But that means you can't heal this person. You can't help this person because it's a Sunday. You have to let them suffer or your donkey die because you're not supposed to work. God's like, Jesus is like, you're taking what God, my Father, gave you, and you're taking this into an extreme measure that you have implemented these extra regulations and laws, and you don't understand the actual meaning behind why that is there. And that is the trap of legalism. It's why when I find churches that really get into legalism, it's like, that's not the right church to be in. Because it's going to make you hate your faith instead of loving your faith. Because legalism doesn't come from a place of love, as you mentioned. It comes from a place of, you're doing this because I said to do it.
It does.
That's not the way God designed us. He designed us with free will. Mm-hmm. And yes, he put in things that, you know, your life would be better if you did it this way. Like, did thou shalt not kill. Your life is better if people don't go around just killing each other for random reasons. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when you take that and you're like, okay, why did God implement this? Truly understanding it, then you're like, okay, behind each and every one of these was love.
Yes.
Every single one has love.
Yes. That's why I call it biblical love in action. That's what I always tell my kids. I'm like, it's biblical love in action, because these are action words that God uses to describe love. And whenever you look at the Good Samaritan and that story that Jesus told, where the man was hurt and yet the Samaritan came along, that Jewish man wouldn't have even spoken to him. And yet he was willing to go over there, get dirty, give all of his money that he needed to heal him. I mean, that type of love for somebody that doesn't even love you.
Exactly.
And so it just, biblical love in action. It's important.
Yeah. And people need to really take that to heart. I mean, Jesus says the greatest of these is love.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, he's basically saying, yes, that there's all these commandments, there's all these rules, there's all these things that we suggest that you follow, but the greatest commandment is love.
Yes.
And thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Like, it's like love is just this repeating theme that Jesus keeps repeating back on. And then when you take that and you're like, the gospels, you're like, oh, when I go back and I look from the perspective of Jesus and his love preaching that he does, even the Beatitudes and all that, well, you're like, love, 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 like everywhere throughout the Old Testament. Yes, there was things that were hard for people to do. And God asked them some very tough things of people, like stoning people.
Yeah.
But a lot of that was for humanity's sake, not necessarily God's sake. It was God being like, this, removing this from your community is going to benefit you.
Yeah.
Even things like circumcision, you look at that and people are like, oh, that's so cruel. Well, when you actually looked at it back then, they didn't have all the soap and sanitation that we had now. So infections actually set in for people who had a foreskin. So it was actually something that was implemented as something that was like, this is actually going to help you in your health. And so that was actually love, even behind something like circumcision that people are now trying to get banned. And that's not saying you should circumcise women, because that's not biblical. I know there's African cultures and cultures that do. That has a completely different motive behind it. But you just have to look at it from that lens of being like, why is God asking this? And then digging in and finding verses that are going to tie in. And another one that kind of ties in with the other comes in with Matthew 28, 18 to 20. If you just want to read that, and then tell us a little bit about what that's teaching us. But I feel that really ties in with 1 Corinthians 13 very well.
It does. It does. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So this is the last command that Jesus gave while he was on earth. And he knew what he was talking about. He knew how good it was for us. And we are supposed to go out and make disciples and to teach people what God commanded. In order to teach people what God commanded, you have to know what God commanded. And then you need to go and make disciples. Well, the entire reason that you want to go out and make disciples and tell people about Jesus is because of love. Jesus loved us so much that while we were still sinners, he died for us. He died for those people who mocked him and beat him and did horrible things to him. He died for all of us. And so because he loves us so much, he wants as many as can could come to know him. So we need to be going out. And the thing is, whenever it says make disciples of all nations, one thing that God has been pointing out to me is, in our own community where I am, there are the nations everywhere. I'm able to meet, to minister to Iranians, people from Thailand, from Burma, from all different countries right here in America. I'm able to talk to people here. I'm able to tell them about Jesus, even from Somalia. And then I'm also able to talk to people in those countries as I get to know these families and we're able to share the gospel with them. And so just because we're in one nation doesn't mean that we're at such a melting pot nowadays that really is amazing and such a blessing that you can reach all the nations right here. And just to be willing to go out and make disciples because we love God so much, we should want to tell everybody about him. That should just overflow out of us. Whenever you know who God is, you should get so excited about who he is that you just want to tell everybody about it. And so it should just be something that naturally happens as you have a relationship with him, where you're wanting to, in love, tell other people about him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, again, comes back to understanding even why, like when he gives a command, like understanding the why behind it. And this was a command. It was not an ask, as so many people think of it as like it's an ask. Well, no, God was commanding us to go out and make disciples and go out and teach other people about him and his love. And, you know, that is such a key and important component to our faith, is understanding that exact command and why that command was given to us. And, you know, why it was so important for Christ. He sent his disciples to every nation. It wasn't just the Jews. Yes, he went to the Jews first, but it was not just the Jews that he was going to. It was the Jews, and then it was the Gentiles, the Samaritans, the people that you know, the Jews despised. They couldn't stand the Samaritans, and they looked down on the Gentiles. They couldn't even go into the inner part of the Jewish synagogues because, you know, they couldn't go in there. It was not allowed to go. They had to worship on the outside, while us Jews with our noses high in the air went into the inner sanctums, you know, the inner part. Jesus was like, no, I'm going to meet these people where they're at. And he, the tax collector, he went to Zacchaeus and people like Judas, like all these people who, you know, people would not like, the woman at the well.
Yes.
Who was basically living in adultery, and Martha and Mary, like all these different people that just you wouldn't think God would be targeting as focal points in the New Testament. But Jesus is like, no, these people are important.
They are.
And their hearts are open.
Yeah.
They're ready for the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul oftentimes, you know, he would go to the Jews and then they would reject him. And then he would go to the Gentiles and they would accept him.
That's right.
And at first he didn't want to go to them. He had the dream telling him to go. And he's like, but these are not clean people. And God's basically like, who are you to say that these people are not clean? Who are you? Peter has had that similar kind of experience, you know, and it's just repeated in the New Testament where it's like, I've made them clean.
Yeah.
They're clean through me. Who are you to say who's clean? And I had a moment like that when I was praying the other day too. I was praying about something and God's like, who are you to claim to know my ways better than I? And it was kind of a humbling moment during my prayer. I'm just like, yes, God, I do not know your ways. And I cannot claim that. And God just has those ways of just bringing in. For me, it was that audible voice in my head that was just like that. And I was just like, it's like, yes, God, I hear you. And that's where, when you mentioned those quiet times, that's why it's so important to have those quiet times.
It is.
Because then you can hear God. God will speak to you. Even if you're out walking in nature, God can speak to you through just seeing the beauty of God all around you. All these things, even nature shows we watch, like we just look at the ocean creatures. We're like, God has such an imagination.
Yes.
And so much thought went into every single creature that he made. We can't even imagine. I mean, science can't explain all these creatures or how they survive at the very bottom of the ocean. How do they survive when we can't even get that low? And there's so many parts of the world that we have not explored yet. And you know, you can just see the vast wonder of God through it all.
Yes.
And when you have that quiet time, you can see that. And that's why I like prayer walks. Because yes, it's
love
like
prayer walks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can hear God. You can see him and you're just like, yes. God created this stuff. If he put so much thought into that, how much time is he spending thinking about us and helping us in our little things that we think are big things?
Yes.
Another verse that you had mentioned is Ephesians 2:10, which is another one that I think is really important for teaching and understanding the Bible. So if you just want to read that verse and then explain a little bit about how that also ties into what we've been talking about.
Yeah. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so I love this verse because it shows me how much God loves each of us, first of all, that he actually would take time to prepare beforehand works for us to walk in. But it also shows me that since he has prepared those works for us and he made us, anything that God tells me to do is something that he gives me the ability to do. And so it just helps, I think, with obedience. It helps with our faith and our trust in him, because I know that whenever God tells me to do something, he gives me the strength that I need to be able to do it. And whenever I can rely on him instead of on myself, it makes it a lot easier. And it makes it to where I don't ever have to fear what I'm doing, because I know that he is the one that prepared the way for me to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like that, the poem, Footprints in the Sand. I love that because it just shows that God is carrying you and he's taking you through these times that you think you're in this Job moment where God has basically said, okay, Satan, test him. Yeah. Show that he truly has faith, and you just feel sorry for yourself in those moments. I'm in a bit of one of those ruts right now, where I just, because of my health conditions, you know, I just get so down, and I'm just like, I just have to keep reminding myself that God has me. Yeah. He has the situation. He's going to get me through the situation, and it is developing that trust and understanding his love. And you say obedience, and people think of that, they're like, oh, obedience, you know, I have to obey. And it's with that kind of attitude, like, I have to. And it's like, no, you should want to.
Want to, desire to, love to be able to realize what a privilege it is that God himself wants to use you to do any part of his plan.
Exactly. You know?
And the fact that I don't know, for me, it's just really and truly, when I'm being obedient to him and I'm trusting in him, it takes all the pressure off of me. All I have to do is obey.
Yeah.
And give thanks to him for what he's going to do.
And trust and pray that, you know, in every situation, God will give you wisdom. But just trust that, you know, at the end of the day, God, it's going to turn out the way God intended it to. We have our own decisions that we make that do control things ultimately. I just had this conversation with Pastor via text, actually, that, you know, ultimately we make decisions, but ultimately in the end, God is the one in control, and he is the one who will guide us. And well, even though we make decisions that God's kind of like, well, I told you to do it this way and you went and did your own thing over there. And then in the end, you're just like, okay, God, I get what you were trying to teach me. Let's go back to the proper path. Like in Pilgrim's Progress, great cartoon. You can show kids, Pilgrim's Progress, highly recommend it. I think it's on Redeem TV, but I think it's on PureFlix as well. There's a book for it, and it's also, you can just read that, show your kids that it just shows you, you know, Satan will try and take you onto all these different paths that are full of brambles and these huge troubles you can go through. But when you go back to the way God's actually showing you, it's like, oh, well, look, it's a straight and true path. It's easier than it was going the other way. But human nature, we tend to go off into the brambles.
And the amazing thing is, if you think about the story of Joseph, they did not do the right thing. The brothers were absolutely horrible to their brother. And yet God was able to use what they meant for evil for good. And God can use any situation for good in the end, you know, exactly. Because he already knows everything that's going to happen. Nothing is taking him by surprise. So,
yeah. Well, you look at Esther too. Like, things were not going well. She was not even living a very godly life the way that she was with the king, because she was basically a mistress for the king. Helping him commit adultery, But God still used her and used that situation to save the Jews. And, you know, you go back to the situation where Saul was supposed to kill, I think it was King Hagar. But he was supposed to kill the king. And then this king's line, because he didn't kill him, came back to try and kill them during that time. And Malachi was her uncle, was helped her in that situation. And through all of that, God was able to work and be like, you see, you didn't obey my commands back then. Now it's come to bite all your future generations here, but I'm still here to save you. I'm still here to help you, even though the Israelites oftentimes wandered so far away, just like we do.
Yep, like everyone does.
And then there are these, there's some other verses in scripture that kind of, I just like, if you have some to reference, to tie in with this, because I think it's good to have other things to just put in our belt of truth and help us have that armor of God. So are there any other verses that you just like to mention, for people to check out and memorize even?
So I do love Psalm 119, 103. I think whenever we truly treasure God's word and think about the fact that it is God's word that he's actually given us, that he's preserved and passed down to us, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And I just love that, because it's just God's word is sweet and it is valuable and it is something that we should so desire. We should get up in the morning and just pray that God would give you the desire to get up and spend time with him, that would just be something that he puts in your heart, and he will. And in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And there's so much, if we have his word dwelling in us, we have so much to be thankful for. We have things that we can encourage people with. We can teach. We can guide our kids using his word if it's in our hearts and if we know it. And it changes you. Having his word changes you, which is Hebrews, which is, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So just the fact that whenever you're reading God's word, it is living and active. I read through my Bible every year for a few years, and I went back and looked at the same chapter for four different years and what I'd written in my journal. And every single year, it was something different that God was showing me in the same chapter. And that, I just think that's the amazing thing about God's word. It meets you where you are. It's whatever circumstances are going on in your life, he can show you the truth that you need for that time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and praise is part of that. When you do understand and you love and enjoy God's word, you're trying to get into it, praise needs to be a key component.
Yes.
Of that, because it helps uplift you, and it just makes you feel so much better when you praise. There's this moment, like sometimes when I'm singing a song, I'm like I just feel different. It's yes. This weird feeling that comes over you, and you're like, it's just the Holy Spirit washing over you. You can just feel that connection.
Yes.
And it's like, that's the connection I imagine David felt when he wrote so many of the Psalms, because mm-hmm. he was a psalmist, he was a songwriter. And you see that so much, where he starts out in such a deep place, dark place, and then he's just like, by the end, he's like, praise God, like, praise God, you're my rock, you're my fortress. Like, he's just so much like that, where it's like, okay, that's an example we should be following.
Yes.
Finding the praise. And, you know, when we look at the scripture, as a closing question, what does it teach us in the Bible about training them wisely? What's one final note that we can kind of leave people off with the Bible and training them wisely?
So We are supposed to train up our kids in the way that they should go, the Bible says. And really, the only way that we can train our kids wisely is by using the Bible. And so that's why when I wrote my book, there is a whole lot of scripture in it, because I don't want to give my opinion about anything. I want to give the truth about what God's word says, because that's what actually matters. And so throughout my book, all of the different ways that I'm saying to train them wisely come based off of what the scripture says, because really that's God. God has all the wisdom. He's the one that teaches us how to train our kids wisely. He's the one that teaches, that disciples us so that we can disciple others, right? That brings people into our lives and that gives us his word so that we can understand more about him. And so really my whole book is based on scripture.
Yeah. That's important. I enjoyed that in the book. Because I do think that is an area where a lot of churches are lacking now. Some don't even open their Bible during a sermon. And I think that is scary, dangerous ground to be in. Because like you say, then it is about your opinion instead of what the Bible's actually teaching. I mean, opinions are like butts. Everybody's got one. Like it's there's a more crass version of that I won't say because it's a Christian podcast, but it isn't about what we think. It isn't about anybody's opinion about the Bible. It's about, like you say, the truth.
Yes.
The Bible is the truth. And as much as they try and disprove it, every day they discover more and more historical things to back up the Bible. Archaeologically, they just found Gideon, an old water jug that was Gideon's. They just found it with the Gideon's inscription, and that was something that everybody was like, oh, there's no historical proof that Gideon existed. And now there is they've discovered that's true too. And then there was one of the kings and judges built a well, his name is slipping me, he built a large underwater network or underground network of water tunnels, and he had a well named after him that if you go to Israel you can actually find this well. The name of the king is slipping my mind, but they had this well, and people had walked by all this rubble and stuff for a long time as they were going to see this well. Well, an archaeologist went through it recently, and as she was walking through to go visit this site, she actually spotted some more inscriptions in the rubble. And it turns out it's more inscription telling about the actual making of the well and about his experience about making the well. And so now they're re-going over all the rubble around this because they're finding more and more of this inscription that they're piecing together that actually tells the story of his creating the well. And I'm like, I hope that when they get that they release that as an actual document that we can all read, because I think that would give something else that would be just interesting when you're going through Judges and Kings, that you can look and be like, look, here's another historical piece of evidence that proves that this stuff is truth.
Yes. Yes.
And I love the archaeology stuff, because everything they dig up just points to biblical.
It does.
I
love it. And I love Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. I love his book where he goes through and really proves the Bible. Yeah.
So, thank you for coming on. Did you want to give us your website as well? Just to let people know. I'll link in the description, but if you just want to mention it as well.
Yeah, it's trainingthemwisely.com.
Awesome. So thanks again for coming on. Been a real pleasure. Loved our conversation. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program. I hope that you've enjoyed today's segment, and I hope that you'll consider supporting us at Cool Explorations on Patreon, as well as you can shoot me an email at tpeters745@gmail.com if you'd like to support in other ways other than Patreon.